Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus B'Metzia, Daf Ein Gimel, the fifth parak, Ezehu Neshech. This daf has been generously sponsored by the Weiss family in memory of their fathers, Rabbi Yamin Yitzchak ben Rav Meir Ras Al Vasham, and Rav Mochal ben Rav Yosef Weiss Al Vasham. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Amoraim dispute the halach of Pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, mitchazeki agenatule, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds, kevin dehavi beit yua, since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. Rav Simi Bar Chiya said that Rav agrees to permit a case where the grapes were harvested with the oxen, the nafish psidahu, because their potential loss is great, because the oxen's feet are often injured by stumbling over the vines. He agrees that this reduction in price is because of the risk of significant loss. Pointing to Rav Barnish said to Rav Ashi, Chazima Rabban Dekaachli Rabisa, look, master, how the rabbis are consuming interest. They give money for wine in Tishrei when it's sold at a reduced price because some of the wine turns sour before Tevis when the wine is received. Still, they specifically choose wine for themselves in Tevis and do not accept any vinegar. Since it's common for wine to turn sour, it should be forbidden to demand wine in Tevis, which seems to be a benefit for their advance payment. Rav Ashi answered that when they originally gave money, it was for wine, not vinegar. Mikar de chamra, whatever is wine now in Tevis, was wine from the beginning in Tishrei. The chala, whatever is now vinegar in Tevis, was destined to become vinegar from the beginning, Tishrei, meaning the elements which caused it to sour were already present. Therefore, it was at that time in Tishrei that they chose it. Although those barrels could not be identified at the time, the buyer initially only agreed to purchase wine which was free from elements which would later cause it to sour. And point number three, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine from during the season when the price was low, and the agent was negligent and did not buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shafat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvid said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase Yain Stum, unspecified wine, which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zet, this specific wine, he's not liable, for who is to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Rav Ashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who was told to buy Yain Stum because it's an asmakta, which is not binding. Rav Ashi is challenged from a mission which teaches that if a sharecropper commits that if he leaves the owner's field fallow and does not work it, he will compensate the loss with the best of his property, the commitment is binding. The Gemara answers, Hasm Yadu, there it's in his hand to work the field, whereas Hachal of Yadu, here it's not entirely in his hand to purchase one whose sellers may not agree to sell to him. So once again, the three points are, number one, Amoraim dispute the halacha pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, mitchazeki agenatule, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds, kevin dehavi beit yua, since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. Rav Simi Bar Chiya said that Rav agrees to permit a case where the grapes were harvested with the oxen, the nafish psidahu, because their potential loss is great, because the oxen's feet are often injured by stumbling over the vines. He agrees that this reduction in price is because of the risk of significant loss. Pointing to Rav Barnish said to Rav Ashi, Chazima Rabban Dekaachli Rabisa, look, master, how the rabbis are consuming interest. They give money for wine in Tishrei when it's sold at a reduced price because some of the wine turns sour before Tevis when the wine is received. Still, they specifically choose wine for themselves in Tevis and do not accept any vinegar. Since it's common for wine to turn sour, it should be forbidden to demand wine in Tevis, which seems to be a benefit for their advance payment. Rav Ashi answered that when they originally gave money, it was for wine, not vinegar. Mikar de chamra, whatever is wine now in Tevis, was wine from the beginning in Tishrei. The chala, whatever is now vinegar in Tevis, was destined to become vinegar from the beginning, Tishrei, meaning the elements which caused it to sour were already present. Therefore, it was at that time in Tishrei that they chose it. Although those barrels could not be identified at the time, the buyer initially only agreed to purchase wine which was free from elements which would later cause it to sour. And point number three, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine from during the season when the price was low, and the agent was negligent and did not buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shafat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvid said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase Yain Stum, unspecified wine, which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zet, this specific wine, he's not liable, for who is to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Rav Ashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who is told to buy Yain Stam because it's an asmakta, which is not binding. Rav Ashi is challenged from a mission which teaches that if a sharecropper commits that if he leaves the owner's field fallow and does not work it, he will compensate the loss with the best of his property, the commitment is binding. The Gemara answers, Hasm Yadu, there it's in his hand to work the field, whereas Hachulav Yadu, here it's not entirely in his hand to purchase one whose sellers may not agree to sell to him. Alright, so now we get our Simon Daf Ayin Gimel, and this Simon was suggested to us by Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona. He suggested that Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. An egg, but a giant ostrich egg to make the Simon more distinct. So here goes. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened. While rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shafat. Once again, slow motion. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs, that must be on Daf Ayin Gimel. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, which reminds us, Amarim dispute the halacha pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds that since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the rabbis were permitted to make an advance payment for wine in Tishrei and only pick the barrels of wine and not the barrels that have soured in Tevis. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shafat, which reminds us, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine from during the season, when the price was low, and the agent was negligent and didn't buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shafat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvid said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase Yain Stam, unspecified wine, which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zeh, this specific wine, he's not chai, for who's to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Rav Ashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who is told to buy Yain Stam because it's an asmakta, which is not binding. So once again, the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shafat. Alright, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazara. Daf Samach Tes. So the Simmer Daf Samach Tes is soot, and we often use it chimney sweep. So here goes. After the partner of Swiss sweeper chimney sweeps chimney sweep, that must be on Daf Samach Tes, soot. After the partner of Swiss sweeper chimney sweeps incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes need to be assessed, as opposed to the cash, which reminds us, we learned that one can unilaterally divide a partnership of money, but not a partnership of merchandise, such as wine. A pup explained that in contrast to money where all coins are equal, so long as they're all the same quality coins, wine cannot be divided unilaterally because everyone knows that there's flavorful wine and wine which is not so flavorful, so an assessment is required to divide it. So, after the partner of Swift Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, which reminds us Rav Chama used to rent out Ziz coins for a daily fee and lost all his money as a punishment for violating ribbis. He had initially reasoned how is it different from renting out an item such as a spade? Just as one may charge to rent out a spade, the same should be permitted with money. The Gemara says that this isn't so, because a spade is itself returned at the end of the rental period, and its loss through onus or use is the owner's responsibility, and its depreciation through its use is recognizable for which the owner can charge. In contrast, coins are not themselves returned at the end of the rental periods, but replaced, which defines it as a halva, and its depreciation through use is not recognizable, so the owner had no justification to charge for its use. So after the partner of Swiss Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, and gave some money to his friend to lend money to Plony, the poor chimney sweeper. Which reminds us, Robin said that one can say to his fellow, here are 4 zuzun for you, lend money to Plony. Although the lender profits from this loan, it's permitted because the Torah only forbade ribbis, which is paid from the borrower to the lender, as opposed to this case where a third party paid the lender on his own. Daf Ayin. So the Simmer Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. The pediatric eye doctor, that must be more Daf Ayin, eye. The pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvas Char Baruch Mehavsed, which reminds us, the Gemara says that orphans' money may be lent out in an ISKA, which is Karvas Char Baruch Mehavsed, near to profit and far from loss, meaning they share in the profit but not in the losses. Although this is rabbinically forbidden, it was permitted for orphans so they should not deplete their estate through living expenses. So the pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvas Char Baruch Mehavsed, while having them read the chart with letters that spelled Tzom Barzel equals Ribbis, which reminds us, the next mission states, Ein Mekabun Tzom Barzel Meisrael, one may not accept property as a Tzom Barzel arrangement from a Jew, Mekneshu Ribbis, because the owner's profits are Ribbis. In this investment, the manager accepts complete responsibility for all losses and they divide the profits. So the pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvas Char Baruch Mehavsed, while having them read the chart with letters that spelled Tzom Barzel equals Ribbis, was surprised when he was told that their late father lent money with Ribbis to non-Jews enough for his livelihood, which reminds us, the Gemara addresses whether one may take Ribbis from a non-Jew, and the Gemara concludes that one may take Ribbis from them, b'chtei chayav, enough for their livelihood. Daf Ayin Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Aleph is a donkey going ee-aw. So here goes. After the Ribbis lender's donkey, that must be on Daf Ayin Aleph, ee-aw. After the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, which reminds us, the Gemara talks about the blindness of those who lend with Ribbis and teaches that their possessions will falter and not rise again. So after the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri, which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with interest and another Jew asked to borrow the money and pay the additional interest to the non-Jew, it's forbidden as a loan from the Jew. But if the first borrower presented him to the non-Jew who agreed to transfer the loan to him, it's permitted as a loan from the non-Jew. So after the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri. For although non-Jews are disqualified from Shlichus, they still have Zechiah, which reminds us, Ravina says, that granted that a non-Jew does not have the power of Shlichus, Zechiah mid the Rabban Eisleh, but rabbinically, they have the power of acquisition through a third party without the beneficiary's knowledge of appointing a Shlichus. Therefore, the second borrower acquires the payment on the non-Jew's behalf and then borrows it from him. Ravina derives this from a katan who is disqualified from Shlichus, since he can't separate Truma, the source for Shlichus, yet rabbinically still has the power of Zechiah. The Gemara rejects Ravina's proof at Yisrael, Asti l'chol Shlichus, a Jew, even a katan, will later come into the principle of Shlichus when he matures. So the rabbis granted him Zechiah while he's still a katan, whereas a non-Jew will never be eligible for Shlichus and so does not have Zechiah. Daf Ayin Beis, so the similar Daf Ayin Beis is Av thick, and we use a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After the ger ate from his thick piece of cake, that must be on Daf Ayin Beis. After the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to the Jew, prior to his gerus that was written as a new loan, which reminds us who has taught in Bryce that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with ribbis, and the total principal with interest was rewritten as a new debt, and afterwards the non-Jew converted, he can collect the full amount, including the ribbis. So after the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to a Jew prior to his gerus that was written as a new loan, the presiding rabbi told him that if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, shtar shekasabo ribbis, regarding a shtar in which was written a ribbis obligation. Rebmer says, konsino, so we penalize the lender and he cannot even use the shtar to collect the principal. The Chachamim say that he may use the shtar to collect the principal, but not the interest. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir holds, Kansin Hantera Mishum Isura, we penalize something permitted because of something prohibited he attempted to do. And the Chachamim hold, we do not penalize the permitted part of the shtar. So after the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to a Jew prior to his gerus that was rewritten as a new loan, the presiding rabbi told him if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal. Just as the fruit platter finally arrived, which the rabbi had paid for in advance after a steady price, emerge, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Ein poskin al peres ad sheyaseh hashar." One may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges, because the buyer's benefit of a fixed price is ribbis for his advance payment. Yatsa shar poskin, once a steady price has emerged, one may purchase in advance for that price, and although the seller does not currently have the produce, someone else has it. And since the seller can theoretically purchase the produce now at the current price, we're lenient regarding ribbis, the rabbanan. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we learn why one can charge rent for use of an item, but not for money? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good, number 2. Which of the one about the arrangement of Iska, a business in which one person provides the goods or capital, and the other sells the goods and they divide the profit? That's on Dav Samach Tes. Good, number 3. Which of the one about the advance payment for future wine of a vineyard at a reduced price? That's on Dav Ayin Gimel. Good, number 4. Which daf do we discuss what the din is if a non-Jewish lender or borrower of ribbis converts? That's on Dav Ayin Beis. Good, number 5. Which daf discuss if produce taken on redeemed sale is ribbis kutsutsa or avak ribbis? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Good, number 6. Which daf when one may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good, number 7. Which daf discuss an agent's liability for failing to purchase wine while the price was low? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good, number 8. Which daf do you if one can even collect the principal in a shtar that ribbis was written in? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good, number 9. Which daf do you discuss advance payment at a reduced price for wine and then selecting the barrels of wine from among the barrels which had soured? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good, number 10. Which of the one about the allowance for Yosomim to make an iska, which is karv l'schar v'rachuk l'hefsid? That's on daf Ayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zuchu wishing you a great day and great learning.